whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Bob, let's talk about the goings-on in the NFL at large here. We've seen some coach firings, some GM firings, some not GM firings, which surprised me. Trent Baalke, number one on that list out in Jacksonville. But let's take a look at the playoffs here. Limits, I'd love for you to join this conversation as well. I threw out all the reads. Plus,
I would love to.
They have food on them. If you could replace them at some point, that would be much appreciated.
I can do that now, yes.
All right, Bob, let's start in the wild card round. And I'm going to ask you this. Of all these games, Chargers at Houston, Steelers at Baltimore, Denver at Buffalo, Green Bay at Philly, Washington at Tampa, and Minnesota at LA, give me a coach and a quarterback who are under the most pressure, who have the most to lose in this wild card round. A coach and a quarterback.
All right, I'll throw one that I think people are going to immediately go to, which would be John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, just because of...
It doesn't have to be on the same team, I might add. It's just a coach and a quarterback.
I thought you meant a coaching combination.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That was confusing.
Because under that, I was going to put Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. That, to me, that's a lot of pressure on those guys.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're saying which coach is under the most pressure, pressure here?
And separately, which quarterback?
Which coach? Well, Mike Tomlin would be under a lot of pressure. I mean, that's you got to win a playoff game. So that would be probably the choice that you should make out of all these guys. Although, again, Nick Sirianni, given the expectations there.
He's my choice. Sirianni is my choice because I think he's going to get fired if they lose, which is incredible. The records,
yeah, the records
they put up there. But he's playing at home against an injured Green Bay team. And I think if he loses, he's going to be gone. Sean McDermott is also under an enormous amount of pressure, as is John Harbaugh, to win while they have great quarterbacks. And if they don't, all hell's going to break loose. But and Tomlin, too, by the way, is under enormous pressure here. But I think Sirianni is the guy.
And Jalen Hurts, for everything, I mean, that they expect. Now, he's still in concussion protocol, which is interesting, and that may lead the way for Kenny Pickett to start a playoff game. Wouldn't that be interesting?
I'm going to pick Lamar as the quarterback, close with Josh Allen, the two quarterbacks that are under the gun here.
Josh Allen's another one, though. It's time. They're all the same. Elite players who haven't won in these games.
I know. The difference, to me at least, with Josh compared to Lamar is Josh has walked into the belly of the beast and outplayed or certainly played evenly with Patrick Mahomes and should have beaten him if not for his idiot kicker. And
Sean
his coach.
McDermott, right. Both of those are
true. The difference is Lamar hasn't played well against the best competition. He just hasn't. And they're a 10-point underdog. Buffalo's 8.5. Is Baltimore up to 10? That's what it says on ESPN here. Is that true?
Yes, 10? It is up to 10 now.
How is it going up?
I thought it would go down. I really did.
Especially without Flowers.
That doesn't make any sense.
Wow.
I think that's a bet you should make. I will make it. I'll take those points. I like points. I like all kinds of points.
I'd make that point
every
time.
I'd take points tonight with Pitt against Duke. I'll take 14.5.
Limits, what do you think on that? Quarterback and coach under the most pressure.
I hate to agree with you, but I do. Sirianni, I think it's ridiculous that they want to run him out of town in Philly after he went, 14-3 this year? He is the MVP at running back outside. You know, the MVP has pretty much become a quarterback award, but if anybody other than quarterback, it's Saquon Barkley, and their defense with a young secondary has done very well. Sirianni deserves a lot of credit, and they just try to find every excuse to throw it back on him. Don't yell at the fans, Nick. Yeah, I
don't understand. Well, that to me is off base, that criticism of him. I just look at the results that they put up. I don't know why the expectation is for him to win, and if they don't, he's gone.
He has the best winning percentage of any coach.
It's crazy.
Where they're located right
but
now.
But if they think they can just magically do that, they did it when they left Doug Peterson out. Andy Reid, Doug Peterson to the Sirianni. Sooner or later, that ain't going to work.
Well, that's the other side of it, is that you got to give them credit for doing the un-Steeler thing and saying, we have a certain standard here, and if you don't live up to it, you're gone.
Okay.
Chip Kelly won 10 games twice there and went to the playoffs once. He didn't get a statue. He got fired.
Right, and the same is true with Sirianni. If they should lose this game, and if Hurts doesn't play and you have Kenny Pickett as your quarterback, how much criticism should Sirianni get for that? You know, I don't know. I think it's crazy. I think some of it is just really, really unfounded, should not exist, but it does. And that's the way things are today, and especially because of social media.
Well,
man,
again,
people pile up.
Again, I sort of agree with you, but when I compare it to the Steelers, where they're operating
with this idea
for stability just for stability's sake.
No, I agree. I think that's – but there has to be change.
Yeah.
If the Steelers should lose this week, there has to be change. And I'm not necessarily talking about Tomlin because I don't think they're going to move on from him, but there has to be change.
I think the next coach – I mean, you can make a case that Dan Campbell, I know he's not playing in the wild card round, is under a lot of pressure to get this Lions team to the Super Bowl.
I mean, the expectations are typically not there. Only because of all their injuries.
Wait, what did he say?
Dan Campbell, under a lot of pressure.
I think Dan Campbell's under some pressure.
I think Dan Campbell is under some pressure, Bob, but that's not this weekend.
I got to give him a pass. The way they won, all of these injuries. I mean, he took that defense has been complete, and yet in that game against Minnesota, his defense was actually better than what Brian Flores did against him with a healthy defense. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
I don't think he's under job pressure.
No.
Security pressure. But I think there's an enormous
amount of
pressure.
Isn't that what we're talking about?
No. He's not going to get fired.
No, he shouldn't. He should.
Of course he's not. But Sirianni might.
The pressure.
McDermott might.
McDermott might if things don't go their way, yes.
That's the kind of pressure I'm talking about.
But when you look at the Vikings-Rams, no pressure there, I don't think. Kevin O'Connell's been terrific, and if they should lose, I think people will say, well, they got ripped off a 14-3 team. They got to be a 5 seed and go on the road. That's not exactly fair. But so I think, and as far as the Rams, they won before, so I don't know that there's under a lot of pressure there. Do you? Maybe Tampa Bay. Only because it's a weak division and they win it, and that's fine. But
how about Baker? Bob, he had 41 touchdowns.
I know. He should,
in the last
actually should be in the MVP conversation.
Well, the 16 interceptions, he is a true gunslinger. So he has 69 touchdowns and 26 picks in the last 2 years. And the fact that Cleveland dispatched him the way they did, just threw him out on the street, and what's happened to them, I just think is karma. It's football karma. Do you see where Deshaun Watson is having troubles with the Achilles, with his recovery? You see that story?
Yeah.
Well, they're never going to get it right, are they? They're going to stink again.
I mean, they missed out on Roethlisberger.
They're going to draft Cam Ward, and then
they had a chance to get Roethlisberger back in the day, and they took Kellen Winslow. How their fortunes would have changed, how the Steelers' fortunes may have changed, you know?
Horrifying. What's the best game of the week outside of Steelers-Ravens? Let's take them off the table for a minute. What's the best game, the one you're looking forward to the most? Mine is honestly not just because I'm from Buffalo. It's Denver-Buffalo. I think the Broncos are going to give them a great game. I think they're dangerous. They have the most sacks in the league. They have maybe the best defensive player in the league in Patrick Surtain, who takes away half the field.
He should be an MVP candidate, by the way.
They have
a defensive MVP candidate.
Oh, yeah, he is. He might be the favorite. He's the favorite. He's the Vegas
favorite.
Yeah, right.
He is over Watt. Watt's now second to Patrick Surtain.
What about Hendrickson? Doesn't he get any credit because he plays on a team that didn't make the playoffs?
Played on a team that didn't make the playoffs.
Okay, but
Myles Garrett didn't make the playoffs last year, and it didn't matter.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yes, he did. Did they make the playoffs?
Yeah, they did. They got run out of the building by Houston. He had no role in that game whatsoever.
I say Denver-Buffalo is the best game other than Steelers. You?
That's intriguing for sure, but I'm anxious to see what happens with the Commanders and Bucks, only because you have two quarterbacks now. Baker Mayfield's exciting to watch. I think they have a pretty good team down there. But I want to see what Washington can do in the postseason, given all what's happened now. And people expect them to be, and they've made a complete turnaround with a new ownership, no question about that. I think their young quarterback, Jalen Daniels, is terrific. I want to see him do more things in this kind of situation.
So do I, but I'm not sure Bo Nix didn't make a case by the end for Rookie of the Year, Bob.
He might have.
Look at his numbers, compared to Jaden's.
I got into this conversation the other night when I was talking about the same situation with Bo Nix and how Sean Payton saw what he wanted to do, had a plan, went after the plan, the plan's working, develop him quickly. And I bring up Bo Nix against Kansas City. I was extremely impressed, and the first caller calls and says, look who they played, a bunch of scrubs. I said, let me ask you something. Kansas City's backups are better in a lot of cases than some other teams, and it doesn't matter who they played. If you look at the precision on some of his passes that he made with really good coverage at times, he went 26 for 29 and 4 touchdowns against. And I realize it was a watered down maybe Kansas City team.
Yeah, I mean, look at him the last 15 weeks. And
you still got to make those throws.
Yes, of course. And he can run. City dweller, how about you? Game you were looking forward to the most other than Steelers?
Without question, it's Philadelphia, Green Bay. I think that Green Bay, I mean, we talk about all the pressure it's on Sirianni. With Jordan Love, as long as he's healthy, can go into Philadelphia and win that game.
Is he healthy?
He got banged up.
Is he going to play?
Watson's out for the year now.
Yeah, so Christian Watson is out, and Jordan Love is a little bit up in the air.
How about the worst game, Bob? The one you wouldn't watch? The one you might not even watch?
I'm going to say Chargers-Texans. I don't know why, but I just don't look at that game, and I don't see much. I think Stroud's struggling. I think the Chargers should win that game, actually, but it could be an ugly game. So
I say the one Limits just said for most interesting.
Why?
Green Bay, Philly. I don't know. I think Philly's going to hammer him.
How about if Pickett plays? How about if Pickett wins and he throws three touchdowns?
Then it would be very interesting, yes. Is Hurts supposed to play?
He's still in concussion protocol, though, I saw.
Yeah, the belief is that he's going to be back in time.
All right, let's finish up our season awards, Bob. Shall we? Who's the MVP of the league? Pick one.
I'm going to pick Lamar Jackson only because I think the numbers merit it. I have a soft spot here for Saquon Barkley. As I told you before, Joe, if a running back can't win an MVP with this kind of season, when will one ever win one? And the answer is never.
So, I think that I agree with you. I was on Josh Allen's bandwagon, but I think Lamar made a late push and the numbers are undeniable. I think there's going to be, you know, a proclivity of people to say he hasn't been good in the playoffs. That has nothing to do with it. I think also people will say Josh Allen hasn't won yet. It's his turn. I don't think that would be a terrible choice, but Lamar's numbers are just hard to deny at this point. 41 touchdowns, 4 picks, and 950 yards rushing. The only player in history with 4,000 yards passing and 900 yards rushing. It's ridiculous what he's doing. He leads the league in passer rating by like 8 points. So he's my choice. I have to take Lamar. How about you, Limits?
I will not cave, gentlemen. I'm sticking with Josh Allen as my MVP. I think winning matters. They beat the Chiefs, and the only teams that can say that. They're a higher seed than Baltimore. I think the offense that is surrounding Lamar Jackson is a better offense, and he has a better defense than what Josh Allen has in Buffalo. Lamar has more to work with than what Josh Allen has in Buffalo, and I think Allen's more worthy.
I think that was very well stated by Limits, Bob. Even though I disagree, what a statement
wasn't
forcefully,
it? What authoritative he came out, but I disagree with a lot of that, too. I think you're underselling what Buffalo has.
It's not as good as Baltimore.
It's not. Am I underselling it, offense or defense?
Both. I think their defense is better.
Their defense is... I think
Buffalo's defense stinks.
They're not better than Baltimore.
If I look at Baltimore, are you taking the count the entire season or just the way they've played recently? Well, look at the beginning of Baltimore season. They had some issues with a lot of things down the field.
So the number one run defense in all of football.
What about the weaponry, though, Bob? The offensive weaponry around
them? I think if you look at Amari Cooper, they're two tight ends, very talented guys. Kincaid
and Knox.
Not as good
as Baltimore's.
They had Cooper for only half the year.
Okay.
Derrick Henry.
Shaquille is terrific.
He's a good player. Not as good as Zay Flowers.
Okay. I think Keon Coleman's coming on to be a very good player, and I like Cook at running back a lot. I think he's underappreciated.
I think it's a decent supporting cast, maybe better than people think, but not as good as Baltimore.
Now, Baltimore has a better offensive line. They have better tight ends, and they have better running backs.
But Baltimore's
City Limits is getting very forceful and borderline insulting toward you, Bob.
Insulting?
That's fine. I just think you're not giving Bills enough credit for what they've done. And I think they're a very good team, well-rounded team. I know they've had some spots on defense. Every team has spots on defense that tend to look very bad against certain teams. I don't know. I still got to go to Lamar. I'm going to go to Lamar. You can stick with Josh Allen all you want, but it's a tight race. I would throw in Baker Mayfield.
There's more high-end candidates than I've seen in a long time. Saquon, Derrick Henry.
How about Sam Darnold,
Baker,
if you want
Mayfield,
to make a
Lamar.
Case?
Yeah, I mean, in a normal year, 35 touchdowns.
He won't win it, but I'm just saying that's worthy of conversation for sure.
And the guy who went 15-1 wound up not having too bad a year either. He's pretty good.
Well, let's talk about him. He's not listed as a Pro Bowler at all, and I understand why. There's three guys who deserve it, but when you look at what Patrick Mahomes does, his numbers – not near what you expect. But I ask you to go and look at the fourth quarter of games and just break it down that way. They've been involved in so many one-score games. They have not scored in the 30s all year.
Yeah.
And yet this guy at 15-1 has some of the best numbers in the fourth quarter of games when you give him a chance. So, and again, that's fatigue. That's what Rob Long said about, Myles Garrett wins because there's too much T.J. Watt fatigue. It's the same thing that happens
here.
Yeah,
but T.J. only won once.
I know that.
Where does the fatigue come from?
Because he's always mentioned as a top candidate, and Myles Garrett never got it, which T.J. Watt should have had another one last year.
He should have two more, at least one more.
Well, at least one more, but definitely conversation with three. My point is, that becomes a problem in the minds of voters.
Who's your coach of the year, Bob?
I'm going to go with Kevin O'Connell, only because I did not expect an injury to their number one pick. He's out for the year. They centered everything about J.J. McCarthy. They bring in Sam Darnold and turn him into a quarterback that the Jets thought they were getting out of the draft. Mm-hmm. And I think that took a lot of coaching and a lot of scheming, and no one expected them to be 14-3. At least I didn't.
This is the easiest ballot I ever would have cast if I were voting for this, and it's Andy Reid by a trillion miles. His team, which, by the way, sustained some big injuries. Everybody circles a team that's trying to become the first three-peat in the history of the Super Bowl era, and all he did was go out and go 15-2. And it wasn't against all cupcakes either. They beat Baltimore in the opener. They beat the Chargers along the way. They just beat the Steelers, another playoff team. They would have beaten Denver, another playoff team. They beat Denver early in the season. It's an unbelievable year. He would have been, if he wanted to, they could have gone 16-1, and they were pretty darn close to going 17-0. They were in that Buffalo game right till the very end. An incredible job of keeping a team that's on top. And sometimes that's way more difficult than taking
fatigue.
A team that was 4-13 and going 12-5 or whatever.
But it's also fatigue that every year they're mentioned, and I think people shy away because the expectation.
No, it's not fatigue.
When's the
last time he won it?
The expectation was that they were going to be the favorite to come into the season. So when the expectations are that high, if they don't achieve them, you look at it as not a good season. If they do achieve it, okay, you expected it.
Yeah, so that's why he shouldn't get it. They achieved what everybody thought they were going to achieve,
that's
be the number one seed in a lot of games.
No, they won. A lot of people didn't think they'd be the number one seed, not to mention winning 15 games. And as far as Andy Reid fatigue, he's never won it during the Chiefs era. There is no fatigue here.
Mike Tomlin was never won Coach
Chiefs
of the Year either.
I'm talking about Chiefs fatigue, just the fact
that. What does that have to do with anything?
Maybe there's fatigue there that people don't want to root for Tomlin with all of his winning seasons, non-losing seasons.
That doesn't make sense. The fatigue is about a certain guy wins it all the time, so you want to give it to somebody else, I thought.
Which is why Andy Reid won't get it.
He hasn't gotten it, Bob.
Because they win, and I don't know what the previous voting has been like. I'm just saying this year specifically.
He did get it for the Eagles back in 2002.
Specifically this year, people knew that Kansas City had a special group. Again, when you have a quarterback like Patrick Mahomes, your expectation is to be, if not the number one seed, certainly a contender to win it again. And they achieved those expectations.
Which is a remarkable achievement in
and
of itself.
No question it is.
15-2.
Because it's easier to go the other way. But that's not good enough reason to make him the coach of the year over some of these other guys who had no expectations with injured quarterbacks.
Why should it be that way? Why is the coach of the year always the guy who takes the underdog to decent heights?
It depends on your perspective.
Instead of the guy who keeps his team on top.
Because that's just the way it is. Andy Reid is a tremendous coach. He's going to be one of the best ever in the history of the game. Already is. He doesn't need, as Mike said, any endorsement from me. What I'm saying is, did you think Minnesota was going to go 14-3? If
no.
I told you at the beginning of the year that they would lose their starting quarterback who they drafted, they won it, and then they brought in Sam Darnold and said, here, you be our quarterback, from what you saw from ghost after ghost after ghost.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. Go ahead, Limit.
And that's why I have Kevin O'Connell as well. For a long time, I had Dan Campbell as the man. Just because everything that he was doing with the Lions was so significant.
He's going to have the same fatigue that Andy Reid. That's
right. Number one seed in the AFC.
That's why I pivot to Kevin O'Connell because, I mean, they had dealt with so many different.
Did Dan Campbell get it last year?
By the way,
no.
The Chiefs improved by four games.
Kevin Stefanski won it last year, and that was ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. He's been a two-time coach of the year.
Two out of the last 5 years
he's won. That's what I'm saying. They need a new criterion, like a guy who keeps his. By the way, the Vikings won 7 last year, so they doubled their win total. The Chiefs have 4 more wins than they had last year, Bob.
They're still the Chiefs.
They got
still
better.
Still have Patrick Mahomes, and that's that. And the reason Kevin O'Connell will win it is for the same reason Kevin Stefanski won it last year, because he went through 16 quarterbacks and got to the playoffs.
Wait a second. Kevin O'Connell, he was the coach when they were 13-4. So last year he dropped to 7-10.
Right.
So he got his team back to what it was. He gets coach
because
of the year for that.
They lost
the biggest game of the year.
Okay. Bottom line was, I look inside of that and look at what they lost and who they replaced him with and what they drew out of that guy. That's what I'm
going for Zach Taylor.
And they're also in the Zach Taylor.
He's on the Mike Tomlin plan. Last year, Tomlin was coach of the year, and the year before, because they finished so well. And everybody was like, what a great job he did, forgetting the first part of each season. And, oh, my God, he should be coach of the year. So why not Zach Taylor?
And what about Dan Quinn?
Dan Quinn is actually a good candidate.
What about him? He has a rookie quarterback. No one really knew what they were going to get out of that situation. It's a terrible franchise that has struggled forever. New ownership, he gets the job and boom.
How about defensive player of the year limits? Why don't you go first here? And I'll give you the odds.
I know the odds are in favor of Pat Surtain right now. And Pat Surtain, I think, is going to win it. TJ Watt over the last couple weeks.
He's not letting me give him the odds, Bob.
I thought you wanted me to say my piece first. Go right ahead.
Let me give you the odds first. We're fighting again. Did you notice that? Me and Limits?
Where's that ice cream truck?
He's mad because of the basketball video.
I know it's February or January, whatever we are, but it's cold outside, but ice cream still goes well.
He's mad because the basketball video came out in which I look spectacular.
Mint chocolate chip, please.
Pat Surtain is the odds-on favorite at minus 200, followed by Trey Hendrickson has moved ahead
of TJ. That's my pick.
Oh, boy.
What do you mean, oh, boy?
It's not going to be TJ anymore. He's disappeared.
He has more sacks than everyone else on that team combined.
I'm not talking about Hendrickson. I'm talking about Watt. Watt has disappeared more than Myles Garrett did last year at the end of the year and still won Defensive Player of the Year. Like,
who's your Defensive Player of the Year?
It's Pat Surtain right now. I wish it could have been Watt, but the last month, the four-game losing streak for me,
but I also think he's been banged up a little bit, and I'm not so sure what percentage he is playing, you know?
But with him sitting out, like, the last four games, like, just for Defensive Player of the Year purposes, have helped his case? I don't think so. Like,
who?
TJ Watt.
I mean, I thought he had a pretty good game the other night. Not on the conventional stat sheet, but he had 6 pressures. He got an unbelievable grade from PFF, and he got robbed of a strip sack because of Corey Trice.
If you're going just off PFF grades, then he is the Defensive Player of the Year, TJ Watt.
That's who I'm picking, believe it or not. I'm picking TJ Watt. Bob, PFF said that this was TJ Watt's greatest year because they give him a high run grade.
Yeah,
so his overall grade is the best he's ever had.
Yeah,
I'm picking him as Defensive Player of the Year. How about you?
And I would have no argument with that for that very reason. But I just think because Hendrickson has never won this and he's had, the stat total was very big for edge rushers.
Can you pick it for a non-playoff guy?
Here we go again with that argument.
Unless he does something historic, I'm not giving it to a non-playoff guy.
Most sacks in Cincinnati Bengals history.
That's like having the most doubles in Pirate recently.
Okay, I'm just saying.
That's like having the most homers for the Pirates since 2000.
Oh, my God.
Do you miss Ron, Bob?
I wonder what Ron's doing. Do you think he listens?
Talk about damning a guy with faint praise. The most sacks in Cincinnati Bengals history.
I'm just saying, I think he's had an unbelievable season.
He's good.
And he's in that conversation.
Then again, in the game that, in the end, cost them a playoff spot was the loss at home to the Steelers where he had, I think, 0 tackles. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Are you picking Hendrickson if you have a battle?
Yeah, that's my pick.
So Hendrickson, Surtain, and TJ. That was very exciting. Bob, let's go back to where we were at the beginning of the show with the vibe in this town and the George Pickens story. Let's talk about that a little bit and how the Ravens are openly mocking him. And how we're going to bring back a quote from Rob Long when he was on with us. He thinks this is great strategy by them. Is it? Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say.
What are you laughing about?
Are you mad right now? I looked over and now it seems you're mad.
I'm not mad. No, you know what's on my mind. What's on my mind is on my mind. I'm not mad.
I know. Okay. I was just checking when I saw. I know you're distracted, and I understand why. Limits, are you mad at me?
Not mad at all, no.
Okay.
Why does Tony get your bait every time?
I don't know. The second time he called, I was nice to Tony. I thought, It's the Joey thing. Did anybody in your life call you Bobby?
Robbie.
They do? Who? Family people?
Yeah, family. My mother always used to call me Robbie. I don't mind that. You don't like Joey?
No.
You don't like the way he said it. Gotcha, Joey.
No, I've never. I don't like Joey. I just don't like it.
From now on, you're Joey.
The only person who called me that when I was a kid was Mrs. Paolini.
Would you be mad at me if I referred to you from this day forward as Joey?
Yes.
Joey, we should call him Joey for the rest of the show.
Yeah. No. No.
Yeah.
It'll be like Mr. Yeah, P, Bob. We'll call him Joey. We'll give Joe a nickname.
Give me a taste of my own medicine. All right, I can take it.
Have you done the reads, Joey?
No.
Okay.